T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Good evening. How you doing? Glad you're here. Sunday night, 7 to 9, every Sunday night right here on 97.1 FM Talk. Now, something that has been a bone of contention among the brethren, so to speak, and also, you know, among the non-brethren, is the idea of Christians standing up for their rights. You know, where does Christian civil disobedience begin? I mean, you know, now Jesus said, render under... And we're not here to give you a sermon here. I'm not a theologian. I'm not qualified. But Jesus told people to give, you know, to render under Caesar what was Caesar's. In other words, pay your taxes, things like that. But on the other hand, what happens when government comes in and tells you you can't meet at church, right? Do they have the right to do that? Because there were plenty of examples in the Bible of people who said, well, you know, we just don't preach anymore. Don't talk about Jesus anymore. No, no. And they would never agree to that. There was a lot of civil disobedience back then. Peter Demos is here. He's got a new book called On the Duty of Christian Civil Disobedience. He's a restaurateur. He's a writer. He's a speaker. And I read this book and I was fascinated by it. Glad to have you, sir, especially right before an election.
I'm glad to be on. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah. So now talk to me about, you know, where, you know, when you talk about everything from, you know, give government what the money that you're supposed to give them, obviously, right? But then when government comes in and tells you you can't, you know, worship together or not in person or whatever else, I mean, you know, where should we fall down as Christians?
You know, I started when I wrote this book, it was just kind of, it was just more academic. I didn't plan on writing it. And then as I kind of discovered it, I realized there was a, kind of look at it as like a three-part test. And part one is the government asking you to commit evil? You know, like, are they asking you, like the Nazi Germany, are they asking you to go kill people? You know, are they forcing you to have an abortion, like in China? Or is it the second area, the second part of the test is are they asking you to do something that's contrary to God's word? And the example you just gave about going to church, you know, but I think another example would be if they you're not allowed to, you know, talk about Jesus. I think that would be another example of that, because that's part of our duties as Christians. And then the final one is God asking you to get involved in something? And I think those are the three areas that we have to look at to determine when we should disobey, you know, our leaders in those situations.
Yeah, you mentioned something really important here. You talk about how when Christians get lost in the cause instead of the purpose, we're ultimately the ones who are glorified. And boy, isn't that true. A lot of people claim to be, you know, working for God in some way, and then they have some cause, whatever it might be, and all of a sudden they're glorifying themselves.
Yeah, I think it's so easy to get caught up in our own self-righteousness as opposed to the righteousness of God. I mean, it's very easy to do, and, you know, and I don't know, I wish I could sit there and say I'm above all that. I myself have fallen victim to it. And, you know, where you start liking the praise people give you, and it's just kind of helping you trying to find ways of staying humble during that time. But you can't have anything above God. I mean, again, you can't make your cause an idol either.
Right. Absolutely. You can. And you always want to be sure that you're doing what you think God wants you to do. But it, you know, it's just very difficult because there are so many things that have conflicted with our faith. For example, the last couple of years, we've certainly seen it come to a head. People who can't, and I'm not asking you to get into the, you know, conversation about the shots. I don't even consider the shots a spiritual issue. Personally, I don't think if you're a bad Christian, if you get one or you're not, I don't think of it that way. But there are people who asked for religious exemptions because it conflicted with their faith, they believed, and they weren't given those kinds of things, and that puts people in a very tough spot too.
You know, it was the shot was definitely a different situation, and And for me, it was more of the fear of if we were going to be made told as employers that you had to make your employees do it. And I was like, okay, as a Christian business owner, I couldn't do it. And I drafted a letter in response and actually presented it in front of a group of Christian men and said, okay, I want y'all to tear this up theologically. Like, because I want to make certain that what I'm doing is correct and it's not from a personal or political or anything else that's there. But, you know, and I looked at, you know, in Isaiah, I think it's 30 or 31, where basically God's like, you can't go to Egypt. I told you not to rely on governments. You got to rely on me. And that's kind of was the foundation of that. But that was the biggest struggle for me. Now, again, if some people felt it was better to get a shot or some people felt it wasn't, you know, again, that was up to them. In my family, right. In my personal family, we had two of us that didn't get it and two of us that did, you know, and, you know, and there was actually a small contentions in our own household about it. You know, it wasn't anything that was really huge or big, but that's kind of where it boiled down to. Whereas, you know, but again, me having to force other people to do it, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, you're funny. If it was a small contention in your family, you're ahead of most of us, sir. We're speaking with Peter Demos. The new book is called On the Duty of Christian Civil Disobedience. And people should know you're in the restaurant business. You're the CEO of Demos Brands Restaurants. And so that's why you're talking about the employees and all those kinds of things. And it does put you in a very awkward situation. So talk to me about when you were asked to shut down. And situations like that. I mean, as a person of faith, you know, what do you do? Is it right to say, hey, I'm going to open up anyway? You know, government certainly has a role to play. But, you know, when they go too far, what do we do as Christians? What's the best approach?
You know, when they told me to shut down my business, that was one thing. And fortunately, we had a governor because in Tennessee, fortunately, our governor was pretty conservative and a very strong Christian as well. So we didn't have to shut down for long periods of time. Now, we did have to go to carry out only, and I did have to lay off a lot of employees during that time. But to me, the bigger issue was, and especially out west, when they were shutting down churches. And, I mean, I love what Jack Hibbs did. You know, Jack Hibbs wrote a letter to Governor Newsom and said, you know what, hey, I'm just going to give you a heads up. We're going to go ahead and open. I'm not going to follow your rule anymore. We're going to go ahead and open because I think it's wrong. And then he sent messages to his parishioners and said, you know what, it's possible you'll get arrested if you come, but we're going to open and I'm inviting you to come anyway. But just be aware that you might get arrested if you show up. I think that is an absolutely beautiful way of doing it, which is, you know, he was respectful in all forms of it. You know, he notified people of the possible risk involved in it. Yet at the same time, he said, this is something that's critical to our faith, and I can't stand by idly and just let the government come and keep us from worshiping God.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. You also mentioned in your book, by the way, the book's called On the Duty of Christian Civil Disobedience. Peter Demos is a writer. You say we're not promised an easy life according to the Bible. We're not promised health and wealth. We're not promised popularity or promotions. Boy, and I don't know how people get through life if they do think that's a guarantee, sir. I mean, I'm going to get to Twitter later in the show tonight. But I, you know, when I guess they never work for radio, these people in Twitter where you get fired every Tuesday. But you're right about the fact that we are not promised these things. And a lot of people, I guess, maybe they feel as if they're not necessarily in line with God if things go badly, right? And that's not correct either.
No, you know, my first book was written about, because I grew up in Christian church. I grew up going to Christian schools, but I hated Christians. And so I didn't really become saved until about 10 years ago. And my first book was about that journey, but also like working through a failed business and learning how to deal with the fear and of failure, you know, using the practical tools of the Bible. And what was funny was when we started that business was right when I got saved. And I remember thinking, oh, well, this is going to be easy now because, you know, God's on my side. You know, now I'm a Christian. It's going to be simple. And it was the hardest, most difficult thing I ever did. And then afterward, it was the same thing. And I reached out to a mentor of mine in South Africa, and I said, you know, I'm under all this attack nonstop. Like, what do you do? And he said, oh, you got to praise God. He said, because if you're not a threat, he said, if you're not a threat, Satan will leave you alone. So my question is to all the people listening right now, if you're not under attack, why not? What are you not doing that Satan is saying, okay, it's okay, you're not a threat anymore? And I think that has stuck with me ever since, and it's just such a powerful way of looking at life and our duties as a Christian. To me, it's just an incredible way of looking at it. So the potential that you might get fired on Tuesday, I think it's pretty good right now. I'd say you're all right.
No, it's funny that you say that, because I'm thinking of Twitter and Facebook, where I have been throttled and had, you know, things shadow banned that I posted. So clearly I'm a threat to them. Maybe it's a satanic attack. I don't know. But no, that's a great point. And we're speaking with Peter Demas. The new book is called On the Duty of Christian Civil Disobedience. He's a restaurateur, a lawyer, writer, speaker. You know, what's interesting, too, Peter, is that these are not new attacks on Christians, and especially over the last couple of years. One of the biggest attacks on the churches was government wanted us to put our trust in them. And once again, not trying to drag you into political discussion about Fauci or whatever else, but they wanted us to believe in Fauci or Ms. Walensky or this one or that one. Don't believe what your pastor says. We want you to follow what we say. We have your best interests at heart. But that's nothing new. Open the Bible, pick a page, sir. It's everywhere.
You know, 2 Corinthians 15, I think verses 3-6, it talks about how it's saying, you know, because Israel did not know a true God and they didn't have a teaching preacher or teaching priest, they, you know, and then it talks about all the problems that happened in Israel. And then, like, the verse 6, it says, you know, that the nation fought against nation and you know, and which is really more translated, ethnic state fought against other ethnic states. And when you get to it, it says, because God caused it. And I realize if God is creating this because we don't know the true God and he's creating it, it doesn't matter who we elect. We can, you know, if God is wanting these problems, then Trump's not going to fix it. Biden's not going to fix it. No one's going to fix it. Now, but at the same time, if we can change the culture and we can become, as a culture, become, you know, and become Christ first, and we can start electing the politicians that are going to start doing the things that are Christ-centered and Christ first, I think that's where the solution starts. Now, granted, if I have to choose between two politicians and one's going to align more with my Christian values than the other, that's the one I'm going to pick. But I don't think that's going to necessarily solve all of our issues until we get our culture fixed first.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And, you know, there are people, and I know them, you know them, who do put their trust in politicians. And I remember going out and speaking at some event right before Trump was elected first and only time at this point, technically. And
we will talk about the second time he was, but
exactly. We won't get to that tonight. But this woman stood up and she said, well, Trump's going to save us. And I said, no, he's not. I said, if he had the power to save us, he would have the power to destroy us. I voted for him twice. I supported him. I'm making the point that this woman, this conservative Republican woman, was putting all of her trust in a person. The Bible's very clear. You cannot put your trust in princes of any kind. Now, some are better than others. We all know that. But to put your trust in these politicians, that's something else that I've hated to see some of my brethren do.
Absolutely. Before I got saved, I was very heavily involved in politics and working with different politicians, both at the local, state, and national level. And I had that same, it's an easy trap to fall into, you know. And again, there are more, you know, obviously politicians do an amazing thing, as many of them do. I think many of them truly go in to serve, and I think many of them do an outstanding job. I think there's some amazing leaders, even if they're not a Christian. Unfortunately, I don't think that we should throw all of our eggs in that basket, because all power, you know, I don't remember who the quote is, but, you know, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. I don't remember who said it, but it's a very true statement of, you know, you can kind of get in there and then you kind of get sucked into the system of some way.
Right.
And when you see politicians that buck that system, they either get on board or they get out. And I think we've seen that both recently in the last, you know, decade or so.
Boy, that's true. We're speaking with Peter Demas. The book is On the Duty of Christian Civil Disobedience. That's why I never endorse candidates. As a talk show host, I get a lot of people asking me to endorse them. I get a lot of people emailing me, which judges are best, this, that, and the other. I don't do it. And it's not because, you know, there are people I clearly like better than others, but they're all flawed. They're all going to let you down. So I vote for the best people I know and the most information that I have. And that's the best you can do, but you certainly can't expect them to be perfect. And unfortunately, they're not. And that's why, you know, we're supposed to look to God, not politicians.
You know, and I think the same is true even among preachers. I think a lot of times, you know, we don't know the Bible anymore. We don't spend time in the Word of God, and we spend time listening to the preacher, or even worse, following a meme. I call it a meme theology, where it's those one-liners that make you feel good about yourself, and it sounds biblical. We don't know if it is or not, and unless you're spending time in it. But, you know, realize that preacher, that politician, they're sheep just like you are. And we're supposed to follow the shepherd. So if I'm following another sheep and that sheep is led astray, I have no idea.
Ooh, you know? Great point. Great point. We're supposed to follow the shepherd, not the sheep. So true. Speaking of what you just mentioned, I saw this today. You may have seen it. A new study reveals that less than 1/3 of Americans believe the Bible should serve as the foundation for determining right and wrong. Wow.
but how else? See, that's the funny thing about it is the Bible's true. Now, just the same way as I know gravity's true. So if I stop believing in gravity, doesn't mean I float away. So it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not believe it. It's still the foundation of truth. I had somebody on Facebook post the same thing about, you know, we should take all Christianity out of the laws. And I'm like, you mean like thou shalt not murder? I mean, that's just such a terrible law that we want to live under, you know. And I mean, and I think when we continue to dismiss the foundation of the biblical foundation, not only within our country, but in the laws itself. And when you read, you know, the books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Numbers, and you're like, oh my goodness, like, what's the point? When you're reading it and coming at it from a lawyer's perspective, you all of a sudden see the laws that are in our country that derived from so much of the moral laws and the moral foundations that were outlined to one of the first civilizations that God gave laws to. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible when you see it all tie in together. And then when you know the history of our country and the faith base of our history of our country, whether it's from George Washington, John Adams, John Quincy Adams, wherever that foundation is, Thomas Jefferson, that has this huge amount of faith driven in it. And it was just kind of accepted at that time. It's just like, oh, wow, well, it just makes all perfect sense. It ties in with each other, you know, but we can't. If we don't have that as our truth, then it's just all opinions, and then it's whoever rules with power is going to set forth the rules. And again, I think we've started seeing that in the last couple of years.
Absolutely. That's true. When there are people, there's a guy, I don't know if you know who he is, Frank Turek. He travels around the country speaking to colleges. Yeah, I love him. He wrote, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. And, you know, when people will say there is no truth, he said, is that true?
My son attends a Christian college. It's a conservative Christian college, and he's a business major there. But one of his first classes was they made a comment that we live in a post-truth world, that there's no such truth, and he asked that question. And fortunately, because we have about 3 years before they went to well 2 years before he went to college, 3 before my daughter went away, I realized. You know, I taught them the dangers of sex and drugs and alcohol, and you know, and I hope they follow it. But I never taught them how to defend their faith. Mm-hmm. And so we started really focusing on that. And so far with both kids that are in college now, it has been incredible watching what they've had to learn and apply, not only with their teachers, but also with the other students around as well. And so I'm so thankful. So, yes, we listened to a lot of Frank Turek during that time as well, because he frames it in such a way that you just – it's just so simple the way he says it. Anybody, I highly recommend reading his books or listening to his podcast.
Yeah, he's been on my show many times. He's just a brilliant guy. He does a great, he's got a gift, that's for sure. The book is on the duty of Christian civil disobedience. Peter Dumas is the author. Great book. And give me the name of your first book, because I did see it in something I was reading about you, but I didn't write it down. Give me the name of your first book, because I do want to read that.
The first book is called Afraid to Trust.
Okay, because you talk about your journey to faith and how, you know, you were, it's so funny. So you were surrounded by Christians, but hated Christians. That's an interesting story. So I definitely want to read that too.
Yeah, it's, you know, I grew up in where, you know, you were bullied in school and the people who are bullying you were Christians. So you naturally assume that all Christians were bad. And, you know, so that's where it's kind of started. And then it just kind of progressed from there. And, you know, frankly, I went to bad churches, and my parents did a great job raising me. They did everything they could correctly, I think. It just didn't take. And I'm a skeptic. I challenge people. I have to know why. And I think that created some of the problems that happened from there. But But for me, it was that the story of once I got saved and I said, okay, I'm turning everything over to you. That meant my business. That meant my family. That meant my life. That meant everything over to God. And just that learning how to do that in a practical way, it was, mm-hmm. That was the next part of the journey that I was on.
Interesting. You know, it's so funny too, whenever, and I'm going to let you go after this, but whenever people say to me, I've had to leave a church because the pastor got abusive, you know, a little like doctrinally abusive. I won't bore you with that. A lot of us have been in that situation. But when people say, well, I don't go to church anymore because, you know, I got burned by a church. You know what I say to them? Are you still dating? Just asking. Just wondering, because we've all been burned in romance. Are you still dating? Just tell me you're never going to date again because you had a bad experience with a girlfriend or boyfriend. Okay. Once you tell me that, then I'll believe your story about the church. Right, sir?
You know, I look at it another way, which is if a doctor looks at you and says, you need to eat better because of your heart. But then you see that doctor sitting outside of Waffle House after eating fried bacon and scattered smother covered in chunks. It doesn't take away the message that he gave you. It doesn't make that message less true. It just means he's not following it.
That's exactly true. And that's the journey we're all on every single day of our lives. Peter Deimos, great talking to you. And your website. Give me your website real quick. I don't have it in front of me. I did look it up earlier, though. PeterDeimos.com?
It's PeterDeimos.org.
PeterDeimos.org. Okay. PeterDeimos.org. Great talking to you, sir. Great book. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. I'm Heidi Harris, coming right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.